Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello, welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast, episode number 88. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. If you are looking for strategies to live a naturally healthy life, you are in the right place. Today, we're going to be talking about the USDA dietary guidelines, but specifically, I am going to be using our school systems as an example of how this is done. And particularly how I am doing this is by interviewing my children. You may or may not be aware, my husband and I have 7 children, and that gives me just a plethora of opportunity to interview kids about what they are seeing in their school systems, in the school lunch system, the breakfast system, the breakfast foods that are offered. So the school lunch program in America offers both lunches and breakfast for most schools. And I guess there's this natural thought that the school system will want to provide the best of the best for our kids. And I think that it's a great example of just the lack of information, education, and guidance in the area of dietary choices and really food choices and how it truly impacts our health, our kids' performance in school, the way that they can learn, the way they can pay attention, their behaviors, all of those things. I think this is a really great example, not of what's good, but just of all the different places that we can really clean up what's going on with our diets. So that's what we're doing today. Before we get started, I do want to give a quick plug for upcoming podcasts. I have so much to share, so much going on. And there's really so much that I'm getting ready for you. There's going to be a podcast. One of them is going to be an interview with a life and purpose coach. I've promised this previously. Her and I are working on getting together to record this, and it may be a couple weeks yet to get that out to you, but that is coming up. There's going to be another podcast discussing fat and how fat actually has a metabolic activity. And then lastly, I have a podcast in the near future coming up about diving into hunger and the philosophy on managing hunger. So that's going to be really good. So make sure you've hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of those great opportunities to learn about these different things that go on in our minds and in our body. But today, let's dig into the USDA dietary guidelines. So I have interviewed 3 of my children about this. Two of them have agreed to be on the podcast and have their answers to my questions recorded and shared with you. Those will be shared at the end of the podcast. At the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to talk about the USDA dietary standards and guidelines. I'm going to talk about how those are implemented into the school system and the school lunch program, lunch/breakfast program. And then I'm going to use one of my daughter's answers to some of the questions that I asked her. She didn't want to be interviewed. She didn't want it to be recorded. In fact, as I was asking her these questions and she was answering them repeatedly, she's like, "Now you're not recording this. Now you're not recording this, are you?" So she was not comfortable with her voice being on the recording or on the podcast, which was totally fine. But 2 of my sons were okay with that. So at the end of the podcast, you will hear the recorded segments with 2 of my sons. All right, so let's dig in to what are the USDA dietary standards and dietary guidelines. There is a substantial guide that was published for 2021 by the USDA to go through their specific guidelines. It's actually the guidelines for 20 to 2025. That document is 164 pages long. It is substantial. It is a beast. It is very inclusive, and it's I have not read all of it, but what I have, I've went through it and looked at it and perused it. And certainly it's very, very in-depth and all-inclusive, and that's awesome. However, it's a lot for any of us to consume as far as the dietary guidelines go. I actually looked at the 4-page document that kind of is condensed guidelines. That is what I got through. That is very vague. So I guess we have a choice between super 164-page in-depth guidelines and then 4 pages of just of the executive summary. This executive summary is very, very brief and vague, like I said, about what it recommends. But it does try to set some basic guidelines about consistent eating that is kind of evolving and continuing kind of at an up level, which we talk about, and I think that is important. It talks about the guidelines being following a healthy diet pattern at every stage of life. It breaks down from 6 months, what happens at 6 months and 12 months and through older adulthood. They lump into one group. It talks about customizing and enjoying your nutrient-dense foods. It wants to reflect personal preferences, cultural traditions, and budgetary considerations. It talks about focusing on meeting food groups and the needs of food groups with nutrient-dense foods and beverages, staying within a calorie limit. So it talks about all types of vegetables, fruits, especially whole fruits, grain, at least half of which are whole grain. These are the guidelines. Dairy, including fat-free or low-fat milk, yogurt, cheeses, lactose-free versions, fortified soy beverages, those kinds of things. It talks about protein foods, lean meats, poultry, eggs, seafoods, beans, peas, lentils, nuts, seeds, soy products. And then it talks about oils, including vegetable oils in foods and seafood oils and nuts. So it also goes on to say that we should limit basically added sugars, saturated fats, sodiums, alcohol. All of that sounds well and good. However, without clarifying some of these things, you will get yourselves into a position where this is not a guideline to healthy food. I think it is all-inclusive enough to certainly include a healthy diet, but there are so many things that you really need more guidance on. Certainly what happens at 12 months of life and what happens at 72 years of life are very different experiences. What those human bodies need are, you need more guidance than that. What it says is follow a healthy dietary pattern across the lifespan to meet your nutrient needs, help achieve healthy body weight, and reduce the risk of chronic diseases. What that means at 12 months and what that means at 72 years of life are just such vastly different things. That's clearly not enough guideline in this executive summary. When it talks about customizing and enjoying nutrient-dense foods and beverages that reflect personal preferences, cultural traditions, and budgetary considerations, again, this clearly needs more guidance. 5 years ago, my personal preferences looked a lot like the variety that came in M&M flavoring, okay? Like, that is clearly not going to get you to living a healthy lifestyle. Being really clear about what is healthy about your personal preferences and even cultural traditions, right? I always say type 2 diabetes doesn't happen by genetics, right? Everybody's like, runs in my genes. I'm like, no, my love for apple pie and pizza, that runs in my genes. So when we talk about cultural traditions, recognizing that not all cultural traditions will be a healthy lifestyle. Now, does that mean that you can't have certain culturally appropriate foods or culturally directed foods? Occasionally, no. Certainly, I can have foods that are consistent with culture, my culture, which is, again, pizza and brownies. I don't know that that's really culture, but even if it was like rice-based foods, that can be a culturally directed experience or food choice. You can have that. Maybe not having it every day is really the guidance that needs to be there. Focusing on meeting food groups and the needs for food groups within with nutrient-dense foods and beverages within a calorie limit. Again, we've had this discussion, and science does not support utilizing calorie limitations to manage or create a healthy lifestyle. It talks about vegetables of all types, which I'm totally down with. Like, I agree, vegetables of all types should be included in a healthy diet. Fruits, especially whole fruits, should be included in a healthy diet. But recognizing fruit juices are not part of that. fruit snacks and fruit chews, gummy fruit things, are not part of that. I don't care if they're made with 100% fruit juices. That is not part of a healthy diet. That is candy. It is not fruit. When it talks about grains, at least half of the grains that you eat should be whole grains. I disagree with that, right? If any grains that you're going to consume are consumed, they all need to be whole grains. Processed grains concentrate the carbohydrate component of that food, and that is what leads to type 2 diabetes. You know, utilizing some constructive thought processes, you know, some critical thinking skills as you're going through this to decide whether whole grains are what we need, and does it need to be half, or does it need to be all, or does there need to be any grains at all? Certainly, there's a lot of evidence out there in the medical literature that support whole grains protect people against type 2 diabetes, and I'm not going to disagree with that. Whole grains do. Steel-cut oats are probably healthy for you, but what you get from Quaker is not the whole grain. What you get in your Wonder Bread is not the whole grain. What you get in your super healthy Earth, Nature, Grain, Valley, whatever it is, bread, 179 whole grains, that is not the whole grain that we are talking about that prevents type 2 diabetes. And being really clear about that versus the single sentence statement of grains, at least half of which are whole grains. That's all it says in this executive summary. Maybe if you dig into the 164-page report, you dig in and you get more guidance on this, and that's awesome. But what that means is that if you're looking at the USDA guidelines, you really need to dig into the 164-page. You can't go with this 4-page executive summary. I also have a disagreement in how they make recommendations about dairy, right? Fat-free dairy is not the right answer. Low-fat dairy is not the right answer. Fat is not the problem. The amount of carbohydrates we're getting in our system, refined foods, sugars, refined starches, flours, those kinds of things are the problem. It is not whether we're eating full fat or fat-free dairy products. The oils is another big thing I have a problem with. Just reading this executive statement, oils, that's a quote, oils, including vegetable oils and oils in foods such as seafoods and nuts. That's the statement made. If you go and pull quote unquote vegetable oil off of the shelf at the grocery store, that is going to primarily be corn oil. Recognize corn is not a naturally oily substance. We have to do a lot of chemistry to corn to make it produce corn oil. It is not natural, it is not healthy, and it is what leads to these inflammatory responses that lead to the heart disease that we talk about. If you read this one sentence and think vegetable oils are the right answer, and you go and pull quote-unquote vegetable oil from the shelf, you are going to get yourself in a pickle. So recognizing that these dietary guidelines are really not, especially this executive summary, that this 4-page summary, which is clearly far, far easier to read than the 164-page document, right? Recognizing that this, if read and taken at face value, may lead you in the wrong direction. You really, again, need to critically evaluate this. Lastly, I want to talk about this limitation, limit foods and beverages higher in added sugars, saturated fats, and sodium, and limit alcoholic beverages. Yes, that includes what needs to happen, but what is stated in this executive summary, if you take it at face value, is not enough. So it's talking about added sugars, less than 10% of your calories per day starting at age 2 need to be added sugars, or should be. There shouldn't be more than 10%. Avoiding foods and beverages with added sugars for those younger than age 2. Okay, so it's talking about age 2. They need to avoid all added sugars. According to this executive summary, though, at age 2 and greater, you can have 10% or less. And again, this is not right. Like 10% a day of calories that come from these added processed sugars is not going to lead you to a healthy lifestyle. Saturated fat. It makes no discussion or distinction about saturated fats are different. What a dangerous saturated fat is not all saturated fats. And we've talked about that in this podcast, right? Recognizing that saturated fats come from animals, and that when we feed animals foods that are not natural to their diets, we alter their saturated fat content in a way that causes inflammation and makes us sick. So when we feed cows that are by nature grass-fed animals, when we feed those naturally grass-fed animals, grains, soybean, corn, those kinds of things, we alter the way their bodies create fat, and that is the part that causes us to have disease. Not cows that are fed grass. That is not what causes us to have disease. Altering their natural diet to something that's not natural to them causes their bodies to produce fat in a way that makes us sick. Okay? So all saturated fats are not the problem. Okay? Some foods that create saturated fats in a way that's not consistent with their natural diet, those meats can be a problem. Sodium talks about having less than 2,300 milligrams of sodium per day. Studies have shown there's no really clear definition of how much sodium is okay and how much is not okay. Interestingly enough, when they did studies to look at where we're getting our sodium that's causing the quote-unquote problem, what we realized, it was not coming from the table salt. It was not coming from the salt shaker that's on the table. Where it was coming from was from the salt that's in our processed foods. So recognizing that these guidelines, again, like, we have the choice between reading this 4-page document that's very, very brief, giving very limited guidance, and including everything from a very healthy diet to clearly things that are not healthy and 10% of our calories coming from added sugars, right? This limited, very short document, 4-page document, it doesn't give enough guidance. And then you have this 164-page document that really is so thick that you can't, that it takes a lot of time and effort to glean the guidance that you need from it. So recognizing those are the USDA standards, and then seeing how it's applied to our school lunch and breakfast program. When I go to my school's website, it talks about menu planning being a daily process for the quote-unquote nutrition services, and there's many pieces that go into it. When menu planning, the nutrition services menu planners consider student preferences, the USDA guidelines and regulations, the Kansas State Department of Education, child nutrition and wellness policies, food quality, food safety, production processes, serving methods, purchasing procedures, and a long list of other things, okay? So there are a lot of different things that go in to the planning of the school lunch. So the school lunch program and the school food program, which really has come to consist of lunch and breakfast. So clearly there are a lot of factors at play here. I am going to now dig into what was reported by my kids. And again, this is my children's report. Again, there's 3 children here, so it's clearly a very narrow representation of what somebody's perception of the school lunch program is. But when I look at what's offered, I've shared this with, I think, my clients, but I don't know that I've shared this on the podcast. One of my children's teachers sent a Pop-Tart home with my kids the other day. And I asked one of my children, I was like, what is this Pop-Tart? I will tell you, it was a lot more emotive than, what is this Pop-Tart? It was, oh my God, who sent home this food in my child's bag? You know, what is this about? I was somewhat floored that they would send a Pop-Tart home as if it was anything that should be fed to a kid, right? And I'm not saying that if you've ever eaten a Pop-Tart that you're a bad person. God knows I've eaten my share of Pop-Tarts. I love those little things. But clearly there is nothing healthful about a Pop-Tart. There's nothing natural. That is not food that should be consumed on a regular basis. And so I was really appalled at why somebody was sending a Pop-Tart home with my child. So I asked my son, I said, you know, where did this Pop-Tart come from? And he said, oh, my teacher sent it home. And he very immediately was like, but I'm not going to eat it. He knew immediately that I was going to be like, we do not eat these foods. And I actually had to tell him, no, like, one Pop-Tart's not the end of the world. I don't want you eating both that come in the package. So share with your brother. But like, why did this come home? Was it a treat? And I was floored when he told me, no, it was just the snack they handed out. Like, this was the after school snack that they handed out. And I was like, oh, that is horrifying that this is the nutritious, quote unquote, nutritious snack that the school is handing out for our kids. And that's really what prompted this entire discussion about the school food system, the school nutrition services. I feel like they probably are doing the best they can with the resources they have. I don't think anybody is bad here, but I would think that our children are one of our most precious resources that we have in our country, and that we would be making an effort to feed them the most high quality food that we can get. I'm going to talk about my daughter's answers, my 13-year-old daughter's answers to the questions I asked her. And then if you want to listen after I'm done talking, it will be the conversation between two of my sons. And basically, they're very similar. You'll hear my children's personalities coming out in those interviews. And it's kind of interesting. I have one of my sons who's all about it, man. If I let him go, he would eat Doritos and pizzas all day long. And then the other one of my sons, he is very all about the health food. He really enjoys eating the healthier foods. And so you'll hear that difference between their personalities come out. You'll also hear, as I talk about my daughter's answers, my personal interpretation of the things that she said. So take that all with a grain of salt. I hope that you've enjoyed just the discussion about the USDA guidelines. Again, nobody's bad here. I think that everybody's trying to do the best they can, but really, you are always the one that's in control. And I talk about this in my group all the time, that people hire me and they'll be like, I just want you to walk around and knock food out of my hands when it's not healthy for me. And of course, my answer to them is, you are always in control. Even if I did that, you could take the Pop-Tart and go into the bathroom and shove it down your throat if you really, really wanted to consume that. There is literally nobody else in the world that has the control that it takes to have you eat what's good for your body. Nobody else. You cannot give it away. You cannot pay somebody to take that control from you. Nobody can take it away from you. Literally, you are the only person that's in control. And when you're looking at these guidelines that are put out by the USDA, you really need to have self-advocacy when you're considering what is healthy for you to eat. And this goes with all the guidelines, like all the guidelines out there. You really need to be advocating for yourself and your health, because you are truly the only person that can do that for you. So that's really what I hope you're taking away from this podcast. So let's dig into kiddos and their answers. So I asked my daughter what a typical meal was that she got at school, or that was offered to them at school. And she told me that they sometimes will serve chicken. They'll serve like a roll, like a dinner roll. She informed me that they were stale. She informed me that there was frequently pizza. And then there were what she called peanut butter and jellies. So I'm going to talk about the peanut butter and jellies here in a minute. But she talked about the pizza. They weren't big slices. And that if you wanted more than one slice, you actually did have to pay for another like serving of lunch. I thought that was interesting. She told me that the day before that we had this conversation, so yesterday, she had had salad with crackers, or salad with crackers was offered. She did not want the salad because there was no silverware to eat it with, which I was like, are you kidding me? That seems like something so basic. If you're serving lunches, there should be silverware, but she said there was no silverware, at least not where she could find it. And then also that there was cheese on it, and she doesn't like cheese, so she didn't want to eat that salad. She said the salad had lettuce and cherry tomatoes and carrots. She said, and it had something else, maybe kale. And I asked her, oh, what did the kale look like? And she said they were big green flat leaves. So I think it was probably spinach. I think kale would be something really interesting to serve a middle school, but who knows? She said that she did eat the crackers. She didn't like them because they had a funny seasoning on them, so she didn't eat all of them. So the peanut butter and jellies. She told me she typically eats peanut butter and jellies. And I was like, oh, are they really peanut butter and jellies? No, it turns out they are Uncrustables. I think that's a brand, maybe by Schmucker's. And they have cut the crusts off and they come in a cellophane package. And in my heart, I'm like cringing. I'm like, oh, you have to be kidding me that this is the food that they're feeding. Because of course, that's very processed. There's tons of preservatives in it. There's probably trans fats in that. There's probably all sorts of really bad, in addition to like the high fructose corn syrup in that food. There's just probably a ton of additives in that food that's really not true food. It's not a natural food. It's food, what I call non-food additives is really what's in that. So I was a little appalled to hear that she like eats those a lot. She also talked about burgers that they occasionally will have burgers and she'll eat that. And then she talked about the broccoli that they serve with it. She said they serve a cup of broccoli. They call it steamed, but it's really not steamed. It's just cold and wet. And I was kind of cracking up at that. But she said that there's typically broccoli available to them. She said sometimes they'll serve French fries and then the broccoli will be like a frequent go-to to kind of add more to the meal. She did talk about Chinese food and egg rolls and fried rice, but she said she didn't like any of that. So that's typically what's available to her. I will tell you, I haven't made my children. Clearly, I pack lunches or I have packed lunches for them in the past. With quarantine, you know, they were at home. They just went back to school full time in the last month. When they were at home, of course, they were home and I would make their lunches for them and they were eating far more healthfully when they were at home. Probably at some point we need to move back into making lunches for them. It's just been over the last month that they've been eating these lunches at school. So I know I'm doing a lot of critiquing over what the school offers. I totally understand it's within my abilities to make lunch so that my kids don't have to eat this food that I'm sitting here saying is clearly horrible for them. So please know that I understand that. So the next question I asked them was this the food that they wanted to eat? And if so, why? And if not, why were they choosing to eat it anyway? So my daughter did endorse liking the peanut butter and jellies, which are really not peanut butter and jellies. They're these totally processed chemistry experiments involving peanut butter and jelly served in a cellophane wrapper. She said she would like those. She said it's probably pretty bad, but it's a tiny thing. She said that she did like before COVID, they would have a buffet and she could choose grapes and veggies. And sometimes there are things like French fries on them, but it was a small portion. But she really liked that. She told me that she really liked the fruit, like apples. She really likes some bananas. And then she likes vegetables, carrots. She really loves bell peppers. If she had it her way, she would probably eat bell peppers all the time. She likes tomatoes pretty well. And those are the things that she would like to eat, but they don't really have that buffet anymore, and they're limited on what they can choose. So I asked them also, my kids, I asked them what they see their friends eating. So my daughter told me she saw them eating food similar to what she ate, but a lot of them ate pizza, and my daughter doesn't like pizza. She doesn't like cheese, so she doesn't like pizza, so she doesn't eat that a lot. But she said a lot of times kids will be eating pizza, and then, so she's not eating that. But outside of that, a lot of them are eating the things that she eats. She did say that a lot of the kids really did like the Chinese egg rolls, what it sounded like, egg rolls, but she didn't like those. So I asked her what she thought it meant to eat healthy. And she said, well, you know, veggies, bell peppers are what she would go to. She likes cashews. She likes peanut butter. She likes peanut butter with apples. She likes peanut butter with bananas. And she has a specific kind of banana that she calls the perfect kind of bananas. She doesn't like them too raw or too unripened. She likes them pretty ripe, and I also do. And that makes sense. There's more sugar content in those ripe bananas. But she only liked, it was funny, the perfect kind of bananas. And then she also talked about how she liked ham. I asked her why she thought it was important to eat healthy, and it was very interesting. She pointed out very clearly, being the daughter of a diabetic coach, that it was really important to eat healthy to avoid the sugar and to avoid things like diabetes. She also talked about how it was really important to trust in being healthy so you could be sure that you weren't sick, which I thought was really interesting coming from a 13-year-old's mind. She talked about how not eating so much that she felt sick, which I also thought was really interesting, even at age 13, that she would have that recognition. And they just turned 13 in March. So having that recognition that sometimes you eat in a way that makes you sick. And then lastly, it was very interesting to hear her talk about that it's really important. She said, you gotta help yourself. If you want to keep yourself from getting sick, then you have to make the choices that are sometimes hard. And I thought that was just really interesting and truly insightful coming from a 13-year-old kid. I asked her if she thought that she ate healthy, and she said, yeah, I think 50% of the time I do eat healthy. I eat the peppers, I eat the apples, I eat the bananas, I eat the nuts and the nut butters, which she does really like. She also talked about how it was important to get the protein and the nutrients that your body actually needs versus junk food, which is clearly food she doesn't need. And again, I thought it was really interesting that even at a young age, you can pick that up. So these are the questions that I asked my kiddos. Sometimes these questions got a little abbreviated or were answered with other questions, so you may not hear them specifically asked that way when you hear the interviews with my sons, but definitely there were similar questions answered, and it was very interesting with my sons to hear their answer. My daughter was pretty insightful and had a lot of insight, I feel like, and that's just her personality, whereas one of my sons was like, no, I really wish I could like sneak a bag of Doritos and you wouldn't find out, even though he recognizes in the moment, maybe he doesn't feel well after eating those foods. I think he would still make the choice to eat those foods. And then the other son, having his different perspective, he's actually 10, he's quite a bit younger. And he was very much like, no, I just know that these are the right foods I should eat. And so I try to stick with those. So if you're not interested in hearing them, by all means, cut it off right now, turn off the podcast. But if you want to hear a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old's insight to what they get offered at school and what they think health is, I think it's fun and it's insightful. So I hope you enjoy that. And here they are.
All right. Well, I'd like to welcome to the podcast one of my sons. He thinks it's pretty cool to be on a podcast, but he might be a little giggly, and that's okay. We love him anyway. He knows that he is here to discuss the typical foods that he sees at school. So I'm going to run him through a couple different questions, but I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Ben.
So, and how old are you?
13.
When did you turn 13?
March 17th.
He's my St. Patty's. He's one of my lucky charms. Ben, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about what you eat at school, what you see at school, what's available to you, what you wish was available to you, those kinds of things, okay? So first off, tell me a typical meal that you are offered at school.
Pizza.
What else?
Sometimes on Tuesday and Thursdays. I don't know, they don't really have a schedule. I mean, the only one that pops into my head is pizza but they feed us other stuff. Like the other day, I had bread with mashed potatoes and chicken nuggets, and then sometimes they'll give us like fried rice and egg roll.
Do you like the fried rice and egg roll?
No, fried rice is like melted plastic. It's horrible.
Okay. And you get a chicken salad sometimes, or a sandwich though, right?
Yeah.
Do you like the chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
What is it? Like, is there anything that you have at school? Is the food that they serve you at school the stuff that you want to eat?
Yeah.
Or, okay, you like to eat that stuff? What other options are offered to you other than, like, the pizza?
I always like peanut butter and jelly sandwich with, like, cheese and, like, celery. It's, like, a healthier option.
So the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it's an uncrustable, isn't it? It's one of the,
yeah.
It's served in a package and it doesn't have crust on it, right? That's
it's
what they offer?
It's like an alternative.
Okay, and then they have some veggies sometimes that they offer to you?
Yeah, like celery and carrots and stuff. Oh, they also have a tray with like vegetables and fruit.
Do you ever eat that?
You can pick from. Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes? What do you like to eat from that?
An apple, fruit cups.
Okay. So what do you see your friends eating, curiously?
A lot of times they bring sack lunches.
What do they eat in their sack lunches?
Burritos, sandwich.
What do I make you eat in your sack lunches?
I haven't had a sack lunch for me in a long time.
What did I do last year, though? Do you remember? It's the same stuff we do at home, right? The meat and cheese roll-ups.
Oh, yeah. Those are so good.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think it means to eat healthy?
Fruits and vegetables.
What else?
Fruits and vegetables. I mean, sometimes dairy can be healthy, I guess.
Yeah? What about meat-wise, like?
Oh, yeah, like ham.
What else?
And turkey.
Yeah? Those are the things you really like, right?
Yeah.
Do you like chicken?
No, like
not as much
chicken.
As, yeah, but not as much as, like, you like turkey and stuff, right? So, why is it important? If you were going to put in your own words why it's important to eat healthy, what would you say?
So you don't get sick.
Because your sister already said it, and I've already
so
reported
don't
it
get
out.
Obese and fat and die.
Right? Okay, that isn't what sister said. Sister actually said, you can't eat a lot of sugar so you don't get diabetes, which I thought was funny.
Well,
coming from the daughter of a diabetes
that.
Coach. I wondered if that was in your head.
I was going to say that, but then that popped into my mind. So.
Yeah, so why is it that those things are an issue? Like, I mean, like, what is diabetes?
High cholesterol and stuff, like high sugar levels.
Mm-hmm. And why is it a problem to have too much weight on you?
Because then it makes it hard to do stuff and walk around and, like, go to the grocery store and make stuff.
Play basketball.
Yeah.
Play football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's the big question. Do you think you eat healthy?
Yeah.
Do you think you eat healthy? Like, so if you had to break it out into, like, 100% of the time, 20% of the time, how frequently do you think you eat healthy?
75% of the time.
And what is that that you're eating when you're eating healthy?
Everything here, like raisins and
If I had junkier food, do you think you would eat junk food instead of eating the healthy food?
Yeah.
So why do you think that is?
Because it tastes better.
Yeah, it tastes good, doesn't it, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you feel better when you eat healthy?
Well, it's like comfort food, like in the setting or like after it.
Yeah, so that's a really good point, Ben.
In the moment of eating it
and it's comfort food, you probably do feel a little bit better.
I feel better with it, but like...
After you eat a bag of Doritos, do you feel great?
I just feel normal. I mean, it's like a bag of Doritos. I mean, like, if I have like a big pack of Doritos, I'm sure I feel somewhat bad, but...
Tell me about the times when you eat, like, burgers and fries and you come home and you're like, oh, I don't feel so good. Like, how, like, when you make that order, when you make that decision to eat that food, do you have the understanding that you're probably not going to feel really great when you eat it?
Yeah, sometimes. But
sometimes it sneaks up on you?
When I look at it and I'm like, oh, that doesn't look so good for my stomach.
Mm.
Like, no, like, it looks good. Like,
tasty for your mouth, but not good for your stomach, right?
Think about it, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it like growing up with a mom who's a diabetes coach, who's a health and wellness coach?
I mean, you've only been, like, a diabetes coach for, like, 3 or 4 years, so mm-hmm. It hasn't been that bad. But...
Thank God you had all those years of junk food beforehand, right?
Yeah.
Is it hard? Do you like growing up with a mom who, like, makes sure that you eat healthy, or do you wish you had a mom who'd, like, let you eat Doritos?
I mean, like, you learn to, like, adapt in a sense to it.
All right. Anything else you want to say about school lunches or the foods that you eat or anything like that?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast with
me. You're welcome.
I enjoyed it, buddy. Okay, I'd like to welcome to the podcast yet another one of my sons. My husband and I have 4 sons together, and this would be the youngest of our sons. What is your name?
Brenton.
Very good. Very good. So Brenton knows he is here, and we're going to talk a little bit about school lunches. So Brenton, tell me, what is it that you typically get for a meal at your school for school lunches or even breakfast counts? Tell me what you get.
Well, there is, like, broccoli, not the cooked, but there's also some other sugary things.
Tell me about those things.
Well, there's, cereal at breakfast, there's pancakes at breakfast,
and wow.
There's also cookies at lunch.
Yeah, and what else is the main course at lunch, typically? Like, give me the top 2 things you see for the main course at lunch at school.
Like, what do you mean by the main course?
Well, you know how, like, you have, like, meatloaf, and then, like, that's the main course, and then you have, like, mashed potatoes or a salad on the side. What is the main course you see, the top 2 things you see at school?
Top 2? Well, for now, I actually mostly see pizza pockets.
Yeah? What else?
And, well, there's a bunch of things. It's like every single day we have a different meal, but I mostly see hamburgers too.
Oh, hamburgers and pizza? Okay.
Pizza pockets.
So, pizza pockets. Interesting. It's not even really pizza. Is it like the hot pockets? Like the little... How interesting.
It's like little pizza ingredients, but with like bread on the outside.
Yeah, how interesting. Okay.
Very interesting.
So, is that the food that you want to eat? I know it's not the food you want to eat, is it?
No.
What do you want to eat when you, like, if you could have anything that the school would serve you anything, what would you have them serve you?
Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, kids would, like, want to eat all the sugary stuff.
But what does Brenton want to eat? Because you're not like the other kids, are you? Tell him.
Yeah.
What do you want to eat?
I like getting the carrots and the broccoli with some ranch.
Yeah, and what else?
And Sometimes I get the pizza pockets.
Yeah, that's okay.
And sometimes I get the yogurts. I mostly kind of see yogurts all the time.
Yeah, you see a lot of yogurt there?
It's, like, my school doesn't have the healthiest meals. For some kids, it's really addicting to always eat the sugary stuff, but we need to think about what is good for us instead of what we want.
Right, and you actually really, really, really do a very good job of eating the things that are good for you, even though, like, you know, the Pop-Tarts. What happened the other day when the school sent you home with a Pop-Tart? What did you do?
I gave something to Ben.
But you brought it home and showed it to us before you even opened it, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you tried to sneak it on the bus and eat it really quick, did you?
No.
No, you were like, oh my gosh, they put it in. What did I do?
You were like, eat it.
No, I told you it was okay to eat, but what did I say first? I was like, oh my gosh, who put a Pop-Tart in your bag? I can't believe the school is sending you home with a Pop-Tart, right? Mm-hmm. But then you were like, oh, I can't eat it. And then what did I say? It's okay to eat one. It's fine, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the conversation we had, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you see your friends eating a lot of at school?
Well, most of my friends, they mostly eat the sugary stuff.
Yeah. What do you see come with them in their sack lunches? If they're bringing a lunch from home, what do you see them come with?
Everything that you would expect from some kids, like Lunchables, Gatorade, mm-hmm. soda, cookies, and canned food.
Wow. Yeah. So interesting. So what do you think that it means to eat healthy?
I think it means a lot of things. I think it means you could be healthier and maybe live longer.
Yeah.
And if you don't eat healthy, there's consequences to it. Like, it's okay to eat sugary things sometimes.
It's okay to have the Pop-Tart occasionally, right?
Yeah.
But
if you have it all the time, you might get, like, diseases like diabetes.
Yeah. My kids act like diabetes is a dirty word in this house. It's so funny. But yeah, I mean, but it's what happens when you eat those kinds of foods, right?
Yeah, so, but, yeah. Like, when I see the Lunchables, I see meat come in them, and trust me, I've asked my dad for a Lunchable before, but he did the smart thing, and he's just like, no.
So interestingly, like, the Lunchables aren't like the sugary stuff all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes the quality of the meat and the quality of the cheese isn't very good, and that's probably why Daddy, he'll make something for you, like a Lunchable at home, but it's not, it's better food is really what it comes down to, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of foods? What we just talked about a minute ago about being healthy and not getting diabetes, that's why it's important to eat healthy. But I want you to tell me what kind of foods that you think, the top five foods that you're like, those are definitely healthy foods. What kind of foods are they?
I would say meat, mm-hmm. because meat has fat in it,
mm-hmm.
and meat also builds muscle.
That's right.
So
meat and what else? What else is really important to eat healthy?
Veggies.
Right.
But also, I also think that fruit is important.
Like, even though it tastes good, it's kind of good for you too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like nature's candy for us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm also kind of confused why some of these parents give Lunchables every single day. Like, I can point out at least five kids with a pile of sugar there.
So a lot of times parents don't understand how unhealthy it is. Because even like granola bars and, you know, yogurt can be okay, but like yogurt can also be really sugary. And then granola bars are okay, but like sometimes they're a lot more like candy bars. But what do the food manufacturers, what do they say about it? They say it's healthy, right? That's what the food manufacturers tell you. And when parents read that, they believe it. And that's why. It's not that the parents want something bad for their kids. They love their kids very, very much. Mm-hmm. But they just get confused. Partly because of marketing by food manufacturers, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about eating at school or what you see and what you eat and all of those things when you're experiencing eating outside of our home, when you're eating at someplace that's not in our house?
I'm just gonna tell you something that me and my dad found at the store that we thought was kind of funny.
Tell me.
So we found this meat, like that, and it said, this meat is made out of vegetables or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just standing there like, that's impossible.
That can't be good, right?
No.
Fair enough. All right, Brenton, well, I had fun having you on the podcast. This has been a good time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So that was my two boys talking about what they see in the food system in the schools. I hope you enjoyed that. Certainly, if you have any questions about any of this, don't hesitate to send me an email, delaine@delanemd.com. If you have any questions about the guidelines, let me know. If this is where you struggle in the knowing of what to eat, or the even like knowing I shouldn't be eating the junk, but I continue to do it even though I know it's making me sick, recognize that's what we work on in my program. If that's something you're interested in, send me a message, delaine@delanemd.com. Set up a time for a free mini coaching session. You can see what coaching is about, you can see what my program's about, and you can make a decision about whether that's right for you. I hope you've enjoyed this. Let me know if you have any questions, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaneMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.